What's up? It's the show.
So much enthusiasm.
What show?
I'm still a little hungover.
That's kind of creepy. Cause...
Yeah. A little hungover from the Memorial Day weekend festivities, including Catan.
You got Catan.
Yeah. That's how we do it. With the hell of barbecuing, we just sit in air conditioning and play Settlers of Catan.
Is it really hot in Austin right now?
Yes. Let me check it. I don't know. It's like what the definition of hot changes the further closer to the equator that you go. So like it's about 90 degrees. So I would say it's all right.
That's hot. Yeah. I'm such a ninny now. Like I'm used to nice weather. It's like 90 degrees. Like that's hot. That's really hot.
Yeah.
Which is sad because it used to be it was like 90 degrees would be like a nice, you know, cooler summer day in Kansas. But you know, it's actually raining here. It is a little bit of rain, but
yeah.
Yeah. I was curious. So you, Hokie, you saw Paul McCartney last week?
Yeah, I did. I actually just got done uploading photos.
Yeah, I saw some. You know, my friend Melissa went to that too. She lives in Austin. It's like you would have a total couple friend. Like her and her husband seem to do a lot of the same things that you and your now wife do.
Oh,
so
we should look her up.
I think you could have a really cool couple friend. So.
There we go. And we'll do what couple friends do, which from what I hear.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't know, so.
Yeah, I have no idea.
What are you implying, sir? You can do friend
couple
things.
You can play Catan and get drunk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Key party.
Key party. You know, some blow. Some...
There's like the keys in it, so.
I'll trade you two ore for a hit off your blow. Oh man! So what have you guys been up to? I saw Paul. Paul was great. It was a hell of a show. It was worth the money. That's the way I am nowadays. It was worth the money I paid to go see.
Was it really expensive?
Yeah, I think we paid like $80, maybe somewhere around there.
Yeah, that's not that bad. Did he play a long time?
Oh my God! There's no opening act, which is awesome. But we were running into it going, is there an opening? Do we need to worry about being on time? And we got there, and it was like some guy doing DJ remixes of Paul McCartney songs. And it's like when old people do remixes of music. Like, they grab a classic song that everyone's familiar with, right? And then they just throw like a beat behind it and speed up the tempo and call it like a remix dance song. And it's just crap. So I was glad the guy got off. He wasn't on for too long. But then they did this like tapestry, this slideshow type thingy where it was a bunch of music and stuff. And then after that, they led him to the show, and he got on there, and I think he played for at least 3 hours straight. It was just him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like. And Live and Let Die, the stage exploded, and then he was up on some race platforms and shit, and he had two different, like, pianos he was playing, and it was a hell of a show.
One of the pictures, I don't know if it was you that posted it, but the way he was sitting on the bench, and there was fire, it looked like it was coming out of his ass.
I gotta see that.
I, it, It was so childish. I don't know who posted it, but I was like, had a total Beavis and Butthead moment. Fire coming out of his
fire. Fire! Yeah. So what's new with you guys? Believe it or not, we haven't recorded an Epidose since winter. And now, I guess, is it technically summer yet?
We had to hibernate. It's cold out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, things have been busy. Tim, Tim's super busy with riding his bike to work and getting yelled at. And
I just bought a bike.
And no more. I need to. I really need to. But I felt kind of weird too because it seems like most of my days are like at least 2.5 hours in the car commuting to work and
oh god
and all that.
That sucks. It's
bad.
And I guess I also got married, so I was busy planning the wedding.
By the way, I have something.
Uh oh.
And I guess it's too. You got married in the same church and by the same priest.
Yeah.
It's Tim did.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yes, it is.
So and Tim has Tim keeps calling him Mike Dudley. He reminds him of Spike Dudley for some reason.
it might be the purple glasses that he wears.
With the tape in the middle and the yellow camouflage pants.
And the tie-dye t-shirt.
And I guess it kind of depends on what era of Dudley's, because the tie dye was ECW, and then the camouflage was.
Because the WWF like turned him more into a brother than like his own thing. Because wasn't he his own thing in ECW for a while?
Well, they were all kind of the story in ECW was that there was that they were actually all half brothers.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
right, and they all lived in this town called Dudleyville, and there was this traveling salesman that would come to town and would just, you know, whether the women were, there was a Dances with Dudley, who was an Indian.
Oh, Dances with Dudley.
So the traveling salesman knocked up all the ladies.
Dudley. Yeah, basically he would just go to this town and he would just hit it out of the park and spawn a Dudley. So they
you should. They should. The Royals should pick them up then, because they need a lot of help.
Well, yeah. What is? Yeah, that is. I can't even. I can't even look at my phone anymore. But I did. I did go to a Giant. I went to a Giants game Saturday, and I saw something I hadn't seen in football live. Inside the park.
Ooh, an inside the park home run. We lost him.
Yeah, I think we have a bun fluff.
Bun fluffer.
Bun fluffer.
Huh. Maybe it's Skype reaching through his phone and trying to strangle him.
Let's see if we can get John back on the line.
Doing it live, folks. Yeah, so an inside the park home run.
Yeah, he went. He saw what we would call a productive baseball game.
Yeah.
Unlike this, Matt, where the stuff I'm treated to with the team I follow.
I think it is directly proportional to the amount of attention I play.
Please leave your message for 7.
Oh, hey,
5,
hey, you don't
9,
know
one
needs to know his number. Yes, that's right. His phone number for the world out there is 785. It's just that.
That's it. He's got one of the rare 3-digit numbers.
Yes, he does.
You have to wait a while. Punch it in and just wait.
All right, let me try again. Oh, yes.
One ringing dingy.
Hey, I think the call dropped there, sir.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I may have to...
I think you had a better connection.
Yeah, it's funny. Does it sound better?
I think you sound better.
Yes, you sound, it's like you're in the room with me right now. I should put some pants on.
It says your call may drop. You're almost out of the range of Wi-Fi coverage. So I better go move it.
Are you Wi-Fi coverage?
Oh, do you have like T-Mobile?
Yeah, I'm in that. Well, I do actually.
I think T-Mobile lets you do free Wi-Fi calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go to my office.
Your office wouldn't happen to have any porcelain in it, would it, sir? That's where I do all my best work.
John's our mobile reporter.
Yes, he is.
We like to keep him in the field.
No, we were... So you saw an Inside the Park home run then.
Which rarely happens, and it was a walk-off, too.
Oh, nice.
So... Yeah, you don't get much more exciting than a whole stadium, and they had been behind by 4 runs, and so everyone was just—it was insane. But I've never heard a stadium that loud. That was probably the best.
A lot of walk-offs in Kansas City, but it has nothing to do with the players on the field.
Yeah, they're 8 games. Like they're what, like 23-28 now, or something like that.
Yeah, they might as well.
I was telling Tim while you were flushing the connection that I think the Royal success is inversely proportional to the amount of attention I paid to that baseball team, because I didn't really pay pay attention to them at the beginning of the year, and then they did well, and then I found out, I started paying attention to the game, and all of a sudden they go on like an umpteen game losing streak.
Yeah, when they got swept by the A's like every game by 1 run, and it was so discouraging because they had the lead, and I did the thing, the weird baseball superstition, because on the last game they were winning. I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna watch it because they're losing because I'm watching. Like, and then of course I was like, well, they're doing fine. It's deep enough in the game. I can turn it on. It's not gonna hurt anything. And they lost.
And it's like, oh.
Yeah. It's. I'm really looking forward to the All-Star break. I think if they get to the All-Star break, then maybe you can kind of regroup, and then we'll have a better idea. But
I'll tell you what. I'll make my promise to you that I will stop paying attention to the Royals. until the All-Star break, and we'll see what happens.
Well, maybe you could start paying attention to like the Red Sox or the Yankees, because they're playing really well this year, and I just can't see another playoff run with those two teams in there. It's just going to drive me nuts.
I'll tell you what, everyone at the beginning of the year, it's the same thing every year. Oh, the Yankees need to rebuild. Yankees aren't going to do it well, and then they come out of the gate and they do well.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it without a lot of the superstars, and it's disappointing. It's like, oh, please just fail. But yeah, I don't know, and it's interesting because you hear like people complain, like out here in San Francisco area, like they'll complain about how long it was. They complain about the 2003 World Series against the Angels. And they're like, yeah, that one really hurt and everything. I'm like, well, at least you got there. It was like 1985 when we made the playoffs was the last time. You know, like, that's a huge drought. It's just, it's all perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. Bunch of billionaires anyhow. And it's like, it's stupid when I get mad at myself when it affects me. But anyhow, and if it's a spoiler. So, yeah, so I guess since the winter, yeah, you got married.
Yeah,
I'm hungover.
I got a new bicycle. I never really learned how to ride a bike. I know, surprise, right?
Really?
So I'm getting up on the bike. I'm doing it A, save gas, but B, also to like be able to bike to my local neighborhood bar and enjoy like Saturday afternoons, yeah. And then be able to bike back.
Well, my question is too. I didn't realize that they made training wheels for mountain bikes. Where do you
I could use those?
That would be hilarious. Would it like a grown man on just a mountain bike with giant ass training wheels?
I need it. Okay, I think I need to get a new seat because I don't know. Like I was really like raw after the one day I drove. Actually, biked to the sports bar, and I was walking.
Yeah, I never understood that. Either like seats are really tough, or I have a really tender hiney. I can't really tell.
It was all up in my taint. My taint was really raw from the bike seat. I don't know, Tim. You can answer. Do do you develop a callus on your taint after riding a bike for a while?
My seat's pretty decent, although it's wearing out. But
how do you like wear out?
So many jokes. My seat's pretty decent, but it keeps wearing out.
I don't ride it for long periods of time in a run. I mean, it takes me like 10
minutes. For long.
Oh, man. You know, it's taken a couple minutes to work the rust off, but I feel like I'm back in the groove now. Yeah. Oh,
First couple check swings, and now it's like, okay, now I'm making contact.
I'm loosened up now. So
there's another one.
we got like 3 months of these to make up for.
So. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Your trigger finger is going to be worn out by the end of this epidemic.
Probably.
Oh, man. So, so you can get a different seat, and then you wear the cushion down, and then you get a new seat, I guess.
Yeah, but there is a difference between them. You do kind of have to. I won't say it's hard to try them out, but they do make a difference because some people like a certain one, and other people don't.
So they have a preference of seats.
Some really wear your butt out. Don't.
You just really got to try the one that fits the best for your hiney. You may want a deep one, like a deep cushiony one, or maybe you want some, you know, some grip to it. It just, no, I always had that. So, Hunky, you had no idea you did ride a bicycle as a kid?
I had a bike, and I had training wheels on it, and I tried like a summer, and then I quit. And then I was a really fat kid, so I was like, well, I gotta do something. So I got one of those goofy scooter thingies where, you know, you just kind of stand and you pedal, like, on the ground with, like, 1 foot, you know, kind of like a...
Oh.
Like a skateboard.
Yeah, like the...
Like a skateboard with a handle.
Do you know, those are big out here. I see adults driving those things around here.
Well, I think it's... I think when they figured out how to, like, fold them up and make them more portable, I think it got popular.
Yeah.
But I did that as a kid. The razor. And then I quit that because I tried to catch up with the friends of mine who had bikes, and it was just not where I happened in at all. They were going way too fast. So I was like, like Fatty McGee on there. I was all like,
Well, if it makes you feel better, when I was kind of slow in learning how to ride bikes, and I ended up, I had a birthday party, and they did like a little, like a contest, and they had like a bike relay, and I made our team lose because I just stunk on the bike,
oh,
and just
God,
weaving and crashing, and then everyone was mad at me.
Was it
birthday
your birthday?
Party.
No.
It was
depressing birthday.
No, but you know, that wouldn't be surprising. My parents would be like, hey, let's make a game that John will be really socially bad and uncomfortable with.
Let's do it on his birthday of all days.
Yeah, it'll be tough love, and it'll teach him how to... Then he'll be like, you know, I don't want that to happen again. I need to learn how to ride a bike.
And then it turns into
but no.
Quicksilver starring Kevin Bacon.
Oh, man. I watched that movie a whole bunch of times when I was a kid. I don't know why. I think I loved freestyle biking, and I think I liked it too because he does that little thing in the warehouse where they do a whole bunch of freestyle bikes on tricks on a 10 speed.
The other one, Breaking Away, I think, is the other bike movie that I remember.
That movie I love. That's a great movie.
But wait a second.
Yeah.
Isn't that a dive?
Tim, have you seen Breaking Away?
I think I probably have. I've seen Quicksilver. I've seen almost any bike movie from the 80s.
Well, Dennis Quaid is in Breaking Away, and Jackie Earl Haley.
Yeah,
and Daniel Stern.
Yeah. Damn, that's a great
movie. Daniel Stern, that's a pretty good cast, and yeah, it's good. I don't know if it would still, like, you know how, like, you see Breakfast Club now, and it just seems kind of silly?
Yeah.
You know, but at the time when you're, like, you're younger, you're like, yeah, that's like John Bender, that's like how I feel, yeah. And then you watch it, and you're like, this is kind of dorky. And I want, yeah, because the whole thing with Breaking Away was the Cutters, you know, the townies, and then against the college kids. And you know, I don't know if I'd watch it now and be like, this kind of stinks. But
well, we won't get that question asked for this Epidosis choice of movie. That's for sure. So I guess it was my turn to pick a movie, and if for those of you those gonzo heads out there that follow the show religiously, would seem to remember is that this movie, You're the Hunter from the Future, is the name of it. Yeah. Yeah. And this is made by the same production company and people that made another Epidos choice that I had called The Humanoid with Jaws from the James Bond movies.
Richard Kiel.
So
okay.
I did a quick search and I saw this and I'm like, I'm picking it for the next movie. And it is an interesting piece of crap.
Well, it was a really long hour and 28 minutes.
Yeah.
I fell asleep watching it last night, and then I ran some errands this morning, and then said, "Oh, I got like 20 minutes of it." I fell asleep twice. and no, I'm not on methadone, so that's not
or method one class. Oh, sorry, I've been watching the new Arrested Development that came out.
Oh, you see, Tim and I talked about that. I guess we can sidebar on that later.
Let's table that for.
Table that, Johnson.
So John is correct. It's kind of hard to get through, especially in the middle, but.
The beginning knows so much promise with the opening.
What was that opening?
Well, yeah.
So much promise.
I was pumped.
Yeah. And I think the opening is actually on YouTube. If we want to put a link on there,
go to the Gonzo Guys page. I dumped a link on there that does the theme song and the lyrics to the theme song.
Ooh, well, in the opening, it sounds like Queen, and it's a really. It kind of looks. He looks kind of like the guy from Flash Gordon, kind of too. He's got that blonde
notes as well.
But you know who his acting is as good as Will Ferrell. Like it reminded me of Will Ferrell playing George Bush.
I was thinking he looked
George W.
He looked like a more beefy Owen Wilson.
With a straight nose.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. But the other thing that always bothers me about caveman stories in general. Like, why is it, like, the leading, like, cave dude in any of these movies always ends up, you know, having a shorn, clean-shaven chest? It's like...
Yeah, and good teeth, too.
Yeah, it's like guys are all scrangly and mangy and shit. And,
no, those dudes were awesome. Like, the lead caveman dude, I love that guy. And when that guy met his end... In the film, it was kind of just like I think that's probably why I started falling asleep because I'm like, well, he's dead. I don't really care at this point because that guy had like it looked like he had shit on his teeth. It looked like he literally was eating a dinosaur turd when he was laughing because he just had all this like dirt on his teeth. And I was like, man, that guy is awesome. I was like, this is, but it's also, did you guys get feeling too like about like half an hour into it? You're like, how is this an hour and a half? Like, I was like, how are they going to stretch this into an hour and a half?
Well, I'll tell you. it helped in that theme song. They played the whole song. They're obviously were milking it. So they're like, the director is just telling this guy, just run around these rocks for a good 15 minutes. And we'll try to squeeze in the theme song for the whole thing. So he runs around, and we see this dark-haired lady... an old dude get attacked by like a dinosaur and
but that scene was kind of badass too because the dinosaur got color like in wrestling.
Well, yeah,
like the dinosaur got split and he had blood and that stuff, and I was like, this is maybe, I thought, well, maybe this is going to be kind of gory and I'm going to like it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're going to kill some dinosaurs and it's, you know, I'm like, eh. You know, and I have to say, like, the first part of it wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't. It was great. And then, like, as soon as he killed it, the first thing he did is he ran up to it and he starts drinking its blood. And he's all like, drink the blood of your enemies.
Yeah, that was
here,
weird.
Here, have some blood. I'm like, all right.
That was a little dark.
I can take it.
Well, I kept thinking of... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Hang on.
You have the clip?
Hang on. Put me back up to this so I can get the full screen. Oh, that's him screaming backwards. There we go.
He's screaming backwards?
No, that's right after he killed him before he drank the blood.
Oh, okay. But it's funny because when the girl drank it, she goes, then she said, it tastes like fire. And I just kept thinking of Ralph Wiggins saying, it tastes like burning. But the old man had kind of a nice line, too, where he said, they said, you drink your blood of your warrior or your enemies and you become brave. And he goes, I don't think I need to be that brave. Or something like that. Which is...
Amazing.
Here
we go. We need a little clip.
Drink it. It burns like fire.
The blood of your enemy makes you stronger. Drink. I'd rather stay weak. Who are you?
I'd rather stay weak.
I'd rather be weak. I'd rather not have dysentery in my loincloth.
I got a bone. Okay.
Oh, man.
But you
my distance.
But so my whole thing is, and I don't know if any of you guys have this, like, through the whole movie, I felt like Yor was just kind of an asshole.
Well,
he was just kind of like, he was kind of bossy. He was kind of, and then he, like, there were two different groups, like, that had, like, a pretty nice little setup of civilization going. Granted, they were doing bad things, but he just kind of comes in and just wrecked everything.
Well, and that's like, another problem I had in general is that Yor wasn't really challenged as much. He was more of just, you know, there's a problem and he saves the day. And he did that for, like, he did that for, like, pretty much, like, 10 different things. Man.
Yor, that asshole from the future.
No shit.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is when they start going into the whole future thing, I really thought, is this two movies pieced together? Did I just have a stroke? I didn't know what.
Well,
let's
work our way to that, right? Like, so.
Yeah. Let's try.
The black-haired lady, like, seduces him. You know, she's all over his caveman nuts, and then they go adventuring. I forgot why. I guess he was, like, they end up finding some lead or something about who he was or where he came from, which, you know, if they saw the title of the movie, obvious that he came from the future. But,
Well, you know what? I felt retarded because I forgot that it was called Yor of the Future. And so when the future stuff starts coming in, I'm like, huh? Yeah, I forgot.
So they beat up a couple different cavemen, and they run around, and then all of a sudden they run into this, like, cave, and, like, some people either get kidnapped, I don't even really remember.
Well, no, yeah, because it was, like, they said kill the, it was the guy that I liked, the big, dirty, he looked like the Bigfoot from $6 Million Man, is why I probably liked him. And he came in there, and his guys, he said, kill the women, grab the children and the women. So they netted all them, and then Yor and them, they just kind of ran away.
Yeah.
And then they went to do the rescue, and then that's when, like, they destroyed those dirty cavemen.
Somewhere in there, they pitched him off a cliff, and he did fine. He
just
crawled up the cliff, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm good."
Well, no, I was just laughing too because when they had him by the legs, and I was waiting for him, like, to do the caveman version of One Mississippi. So, I, like, in my mind, I was going, like, one Stegosaurus. Stegosaurus. But then, like, the one guy got hit with the arrow, and then they dropped, and then, but the other guy still threw him off the cliff, and yours fell like a sack of potatoes, and then he was fine.
He just shimmies back up the cliff, and he's like,
so,
oh, all right.
Yeah.
So the rescue mission involved him riding a giant bat into the cave.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was,
and then they hit the music
in
too? When he flew in the music.
They hit his music when he flew in there. That was badass.
It's not music.
It's important they cue the music.
Yeah, so he comes in there, and I guess he saves them or something.
Well, no, he screwed up the whole thing where he, like, did all these explosions and, like, an earthquake happened, and then all that water came through.
Yeah.
So basically, he, you know, to me, like, I was still kind of, like, in whole, like, civilization caveman kind of mode when I was like, okay, so I understand you rescued him, but does that mean you need to wreck their whole technology? Right. You know, it's like, it works really hard for this. It's like, what a jerk. My whole thing, I'm just like, he just goes around and ruins things.
And then, he's the dick from the future.
He's like, oh, you got aqueducts and drawbridges? Not anymore. Fuck you.
The guy just came in and wrecked our whole civilization, and then this happened in the air.
Yeah.
I heard this guy said, can you wreck our stuff? And then this happened.
It's like a Valkyrie riding down from the mountains.
And there goes our infrastructure.
And he flies in.
Man, so...
So did he kill that bird?
I think he killed it first, and then he rode it in.
He rode the turd.
Yeah.
Which is...
the turd bird.
It looked like a big dump with wings.
It was. It was a piece of crap, that's for sure.
Oh, man. He's like, who's that man flying in on a giant turd with wings? And I hated the way that she kept, like...
That's
the way that she kept talking about him too. She, it was like, all right, we get it. He's a saint, you know. She's like, why did he risk his life? It was like subcaptioned plots, you know. It's like, just so you know, Yor is a really great guy, even though this guy's kind of a jerk.
Well, so the rescue happens, and then I think he must have, like, fought 20 different people or different, like, tasks and challenges, and then he ended up finding this blonde, like, lady that ends up being,
either way,
he ends up being, like, related to, which is like, what? How the hell did that happen?
The fire.
Oh, yeah. No, but the first group was the caveman. The second group was the Ashy Larry looking guys, who I referred to. Like, they kind of looked like they'd been mixing concrete all day.
Yeah.
And then
they've been
and then
they're a bunch of primeval chimney sweeps.
Yeah, they just had this gray ashy thing, and then they were kind of, they looked cool. And see, this is what I started thinking about, like, because I remembered this movie. I don't know if I remembered seeing it, but my whole thing was like, when I was a kid, and still kind of the same too. Like, if you had some kind of interesting characters, then I would watch it, and I probably watched it. I probably thought, ooh, those mummy guys are cool. But so then the woman, they look to her as a god, and she has the same medallion as Yor does.
Yeah. So.
And then, but then there's this. Then this is when the swerve happens too. The romantic.
I know.
Swerve.
That's the thing. I was like, wow, that lady is super jealous. And the old guy was even like, black haired lady, chill out. I like he was so matter of the fact. Many men from our tribe have multiple wives. It's okay. Get over it.
Yeah.
So the next scene
he was like
the next scene cuts to her trying to kill her all of a sudden. I was like, wow, she is not right for him.
She was gonna
kill
that woman, but she's such a poor knife fighter that it doesn't matter, because every time she pulled a weapon and went at somebody, it was just like, oh, I'm done.
Well, she tried to stab one of the dinosaurs too, and the dinosaur was just kinda like, woman, please. You know, what do you But no, because what happened though is she was jealous because Yor was with her. Yor was with her, with the other woman then. And then, but remember when they were leaving the mummy people, and they had that woman, like a boulder or something hits her in the head.
Yeah.
And he's like, Yor's like, come on, let's go, come on. And he's like, keep moving along. So then she gets tapped with a love tap by the club, and she gets to have her dying, you know, speech then.
Yeah.
So I'm just like,
well, and also,
it was just too easy.
Yeah, also, it's like, they fought first, and then, like, the diversion happened, and then, like they got attacked by other caimans. So, I don't think Yor ever really found out that the black lady, the black-haired lady was trying to kill the blonde. And yeah. So it's just like, it's just like this whole drummed up, like, there's, there, and they didn't explore it fully enough, but she was like a jealous, crazy bitch, and like, and yeah. It's just like, she had a convenient, another convenient caveman attack to kind of hide the fact that she was actually trying to kill the blonde first.
But I did have to respect the fact that they did do the swerve, though, like, yeah. That was kind of, I mean, I didn't see that one coming. I was like, ooh, so now he's with her? And like, but she's mad, and then, yeah, I was like, ooh, we're going to have a love triangle. But then, and then when he, sorry to skip ahead, but then again, like, when he rescued the other lady, her husband was like, well, she now belongs to you, because you saved her.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a stable.
The love triangle, I wrote down the times, like, when they, like, when she tried to kill her, and then from the time she died, the full love triangle actually lasted, I take it back, I started when he kind of was making out with the blonde-haired woman, and she saw it, and then she attacked her, and then she died, and it was about 53 seconds.
Just like real life.
I mean, yeah. Like, hey,
I get you. I attack you, and then you're dead.
Yeah. And then you die, and you go ahead and give her the okay to be his woman.
So, yeah. Yeah. It was like always like, hey, you know, never mind that.
A lot.
Yeah.
And Kahlo's all sad about. I'm like, you should be having a. You should. I guess you have to act sad, even though you're probably glad she's dead.
Yeah.
Well, and then
I would say maybe she was just sad that she didn't get to kill her.
She's like, oh, I really wanted to kill that woman.
So he has inspiration, and I finally have direction in this movie, where he's gonna find out where it came from or whatever. So he works his way to the ocean to sail to the mountain. There's like the mountain in the sea or what, the island in the sea is where they're from or whatever. So, like, they work their way to the ocean, and they hang out with the tribe ocean people. He saves the day again somehow. Stuff gets burned down, I think.
Well, he didn't quite save the day. He saved the day after they burned down their
village.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of an after-the-point kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the redemption warrior, you know? But I kind of think of it's like he's kind of like, oops, that did not go well. And then he's like, okay, well, I'll wait till they're sleeping, and then I'll sneak up, and then I'll redeem myself.
And then it's like, well, hey, the guy comes back from his, like, fishing expedition. He's like, what happened to the village? And then... That's what happened.
That's his answer for everything.
You know, I'm just gonna walk around and cue that up whenever I need inspiration for a moment.
Let me take more of this after anything bad happened.
It's like, you know, I gotta pop a squat. So right before I get down onto the toilet, I cue the your song. He's your, he's the man.
Oh yeah. Man! So we went over.
So we went over. Oh, go ahead. Oh,
I was saying we forgot. Like he we thought the caveman people were dead. Like the gnarly Bigfoot looking guys, and then they came back, and then Yor and him got into. Didn't Yor hit him in the head with a rock after he called him a bastard? Which was kind of interesting, and that's, I guess, again, that should have been a clue, like, you know, it's future type stuff, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's where the movie, you want to talk about swerve, the movie took a complete fucking swerve, like, right after that. So, somehow, like, they get some kind of crazy, like, flying bird thing.
Hey, hang on just a sec, guys, just hang on just a sec, you can keep talking, I'll be right back.
All right, cool. So, go ahead with your summary then.
No, they get to, like, some crazy flying bird that the villager shows them or something. I forgot what it was exactly. But, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's, like, lasers.
They just start getting... Well, they have that little radio that they keep in the cave in the back.
Yeah.
They don't know what it is, and I think it's some kind of tracer, so... They just start getting bombarded with lasers as soon as, like, they show it to the old guy, and all of a sudden lasers just start hitting their huts on the beach.
So we went from, like, a caveman adventure to, like, something completely flipped on its head. So, yeah, that's what happens. They sail after them, right? And then they get into the island, and then, of course, there's a storm, so there might have been some people lost or whatever. But everyone washed up on the shore. And then all of a sudden, it's like they go into the island, and it's like an episode of Lost or whatever. There's, like, fucking robots in there. And it's At this point in the movie, I completely like chained together the it ended up a lot of the stuff that happened from here on out ended up being a lot like what the humanoid was.
Yeah,
lasers and robots and fighting and stuff, but instead of like Richard Kiel and a couple other people, like Face from the A-Team, it was Yor and his troop of cave people going around and destroying robots and lasers and shit.
And the robot troops looked like a hybrid between Darth Vader and the Stormtroopers.
Yeah. So they get in there, and I guess that's where like he finds out he comes from. I don't know why, but of course there's this really bad person. The Overlord, the humanoid. I guess the Overlord rules people. he lords over people. So let's see here. So what happened when they met all that?
Let's see. He gets to the island. He gets the people who hide in the caves there come grab and tell him he was born there. The whole backstory is that there used to be a civilization, and then apparently there was nuclear war, and everything was radioactive, and so they kept all these people on this island to keep them safe, and then the king or whoever was in charge got killed by the Overlord, and the Overlord took over, and...
So it was some nuclear war that somehow also helped rediscover dinosaurs.
The radiation made dinosaurs come back because that's how it works.
Yeah. So we were thought it's like an M. Night Shyamalan movie or something. We thought they were in prehistoric time. Then we find out from the island that it's more the future.
You're the hunter from the future, past future.
Yeah, you're the guy who looks like he's from the past, but is from the future in the past at the same time.
Well, in the present.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, I'm back. Sorry.
Did you at least like play the Yor theme song when you got done taking a dump?
No. It was how to explain.
Man of the future.
You know, if you just played, all you really should have done is go out and play that song.
Yeah.
That
would be like, I got a question. It's like, oh yeah?
No, so.
That should be your reply to any question.
Right. It's like, I'll take the garbage out later.
Oh no! This is beyond like taking out the garbage. This is just. But no, I forgot to say something about the music. There's two things in the credits that I forgot to bring up. First of all, it says based on a book.
Yep.
On the book, which is odd because that just seems like this is a book before. But then, did you notice that one of the names of the people, the additional music, it was just one name, like Prince. But it was Guido.
Yes.
By Guido.
I thought a Guido was a term that you shouldn't use.
Well, not if it's like, really your name.
Lest you forget, this is an Italian production company, so...
Which makes even more of where... I mean, is Guido an actual name for an Italian... People actually... I thought that was just like a slang term for somebody.
Well, I mean, there's Irish guys named Mick, too, so...
Yeah...
I know it doesn't.
Okay. I just didn't quite get it. I was like, wait a minute, his name is Guido? But yeah, so I guess I should thank Guido for that.
It wasn't
amazing song.
Guido.
True.
That's like if I wrote a song and I went under the moniker of Honky or or Peckerwood. Isn't Guido like can that be construed as an Italian slur or?
No, that's what I always thought. So that's
a bunch of Guido.
But then again, Tim just made a good point by saying Mick is a name for Irish. I bet it's Spanish.
I will just stay safely on the European side.
Yes.
There's no need to venture on the roads.
You what?
I said I'm staying safely on the European continent.
Yeah. Right.
There's no need.
But so,
so while you were away attending to your duties,
yeah.
You got to the point where the movie flipped upside down and ended up being like another version of the humanoid. So it was like, yeah, we discover that he was like in a lab. He was made there, and he got to the island, and like the overlord like killed the king of the island, and there's just all this post-nuclear stuff, and that's why, you know, it was all primordial over there and all that other fun stuff. So that's where we're at right
now. I'm kind of embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to say that I didn't really actually understand the plot that much, or like I didn't get the whole apocalypse.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about
until I looked on Wikipedia, because the Wikipedia had a description of it.
Oh wow!
And that's what it said, and because also I was just like, well, wait a minute, I don't quite understand, because I kept falling asleep, so I felt like I had to keep restarting. So I wasn't quite here, there's something like kind of disturbing about this movie as well, that it made like $3 million.
Wow.
Yeah, which I mean, it just seems like there'd be like four people would actually have gone to see that movie. But I'm trying to find it too, because I had no. Sorry, I'm stalling, but I can't find my damn.
Did anybody else? Think the bit where the overlord said he was going to operate on his mind and make him the new person, and then he was going to fix his brain. He's going to make him mate with the girl, and then he was going to kill him.
Yeah, because he was going to try to make like a humanoid, basically, right?
Yeah, basically. I'm jumping ahead here a little bit.
And will think the way I want you to.
There you go. Hey, a little backwards speaker, say.
Slow-witted models. You will be genetically perfect, too, and will think the way I want you to. You see, I will operate on your mind until every thought that is not right has been eliminated, and you will have a new mind and memory which will transmit itself to your genes. When you have inseminated this woman, you will die.
Why wouldn't you just let him keep inseminating people?
I have no idea.
He's like a stud horse.
Man.
So I think the guy that made this movie, he seems to want to take like things from other movies and wrap them all into one. Was the first Conan out at this point? So was it like, or was it the Beastmaster? I don't know if the Beastmaster was popular. Was it popular with my family?
I love the Beastmaster. York!
What
pipe
is that?
Down, York.
Don't worry about that.
York, pipe down.
Everything's fine. Don't worry.
But so then it was like he combined like the Beastmaster, and then he was like, going back to the well with the humanoid, but then it's like he just was just throwing like shit at the wall and just seeing like what would kind of stick. But the movie did almost make $3 million in the United States, and that's back in the '80s. So was this movie popular? Do you guys remember it?
No. I don't ever remember seeing it. I mean, it could have, maybe they played overseas.
Yeah, that might have been like worldwide.
It said U.S. on the Wikipedia thing. That's what was kind of scary to me. I kept thinking that had to be everything, you know, even
HBO or in all the new cable channels and stuff.
Yeah,
I can't think it made $3 million.
Maybe it was the single. Maybe the single from the soundtrack got pretty popular in the charts.
People kept going to the movie just to hear that, because back in those days you couldn't just download it, so you'd be like, well, I want to hear that song again, so I guess I'm going to go spend the $5 to go to the movie again.
Now, let me ask you this. So this movie came out in 1983. When did Conan the Destroyer come out?
The first one or the second one?
The second one.
The Destroyer is the second one.
There's a mirror scene in one of the Conan movies.
Oh, you're right.
They did this move that off.
Similar. I want to know if Conan stole it from Yor or if Yor stole it from Conan. And it wasn't.
I don't know.
Or was it in the Destroyer? I feel like
this. This kind of the MO of this director, I would say he probably stole it. Because he pretty much stole everything, like in The Humanoid, he pretty much stole everything from Star Wars.
Conan, so Conan the Barbarian came out in 82, and then Conan the Destroyer came out in 84.
Oh!
Right? So...
But I don't remember when the mirror scene, but...
Which one had the mirrors, where there's a hall of mirrors? It could have been the first.
Alright, let me look that up.
Alright, you figure that out.
But you know that was like the most like anticlimactic scene I've ever seen. Like that it was set up so big, like with mirrors and everything, and then she was just like, oh, you're here, okay, good. And they just start smooching.
Because the room wasn't that big. It was still just like a little closet.
Wow, it's from Conan the Destroyer. So Conan the Destroyer ripped off Yor the Hunter from the Future.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. It. Sure.
Oh my god, I can't handle this.
Wait, isn't that kind of just like adding onto your problem? The beer? I can't do that. If I have a hangover, there is absolutely no way I could even smell beer for a few days or whatever I've had, like booze-wise. Just can't do it. Excuse me, you really took it out of me last night and this afternoon.
The other convenient thing in this movie is they, after all the rigmarole of running around trying to reprogram his brain and the big running things, where do they end up fighting? A warehouse boiler room.
Yeah.
Where the humanoid
with a freight elevator.
Oh man. Oh. All right, I'm back to normal. That just blew my mind.
And then so with the cavemen as well, too, like, they knew how to fire lasers.
Yeah, they just took the stuff right.
Oh, did you guys also, speaking of ripoffs, we know that Conan the Destroyer ripped off Yor, but I think I'm pretty sure that the cavern swing, was a complete ripoff of Star Wars.
That was complete Star Wars again. Maybe the soldiers, too.
Oh, you know? Man. So I guess it evens out.
But Yor did have the original scene too, where like the guys, he throws his laser. Well, he's got the guy down dead to rights to kill him. He throws his laser over it, and another guy's gonna go shoot the overlord as he's getting in the elevator. And Yor goes, no, and he takes like a javelin,
and just
a pipe, and throws it through, which makes more sense. I mean, because lasers aren't precise or anything like that.
No, they don't really shoot straight.
And then he's in the elevator, and it goes up and breaks his spear off.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just... The movie just... It really did feel like I had a stroke, like, about midway in it. Because, like, I started falling asleep around the mirror scene, and then I think she screamed and it woke me up, but then all of a sudden there was, like, overlord and then lasers, and I'm like, what just happened here?
And the weird blind guy who was with the future people, he was in the control room for like half an hour turning off all the soldiers, and then like he still forgot to turn off a group.
Oh, God.
And they're like, oh
yeah,
do him yet. I'm like, he's in the room and he just pushes a button and they turn off. It's like, why isn't he flipping all the switches?
I'd
be fair, I guess he's blind. Maybe he thought he got them all.
Well, was he blind, though? Because when he came walking down, he seemed blind. But then later, it looked like he was looking around like he could see.
I think he was supposed to be blind. Maybe that would account for him not finding all the buttons.
I think he forgot. Like, I think the guy who was playing the role forgot that he was supposed to be blind at the end.
Like, they're going to shoot the little gold caveman. Oh, hang on a second. Turn this off.
Little gold caveman.
Little gold caveman and his bow and arrow. They're going to just fry him. Oh, I didn't turn that sector off. Oops.
Bleep, bluff, blurp.
You know, Not to get the weird philosophical angle bent that I always seem to get on these things, but there are two things that I think about. For one, I imagine this guy, because they had a scriptwriter, which is terrifying, but I just imagine this guy sitting in his office, and when he writes the scene when Yor takes a rock and smashes the robot's head off, that he thought that he was just blending the two worlds perfectly. Like in Gene, he was probably like dynamite, gold, out of the park. this guy. I just merged like the brutality of a rock with the technology of Sir. I'm a genius.
I sit in the room and it's like, yes, yes, that works.
Yes, yes. Like,
it's
cool. He's just sitting there, just being like, he's like, oh, you did it again, sir. You did it again. Amazing.
I don't know what it is, but we're gonna win.
Is that a Parker List Can't Lose reference?
No, I don't know what the script writer's name is, so in and out, I just use sir. But I don't remember what my other, I can't even remember, I had another point. Oh, Yor really took it out of me.
Yor.
But,
what was the other, so one was the marriage, it was pretty much a theme throughout the whole movie where, like, primordial, like, brutality defeats technology, so there is that, right? There is, you know, it is pretty much the director's answer toward cell phones and computers. We don't need it, I'll just bash it with a rock.
Yeah,
but I don't know what the other...
I can't remember. I'm old and I'm sleepy and everything, but I'm trying to remember what it was. I may eventually remember, but the guy who made these movies, did he make a lot of movies in Italy? I mean, does he have like a big body of work?
A big pile of work.
Yeah, does he have a big pile of Yor?
let me look it up and I'll tell you. We got to the point in the movie. Right, where he like kills the overlord or something. Like he lobs a spear through the chest of the overlord.
Right.
Yeah. So that happens, and then the island guy. Like I guess we all find out they're from outer space or something, and they're reverting back to where it was before the technology was evil or something. So I have in my notes because I do not remember this at all. But I have in my notes that Yor flew away at the end of the movie.
Yeah, in a rocket. And then, and they have the little voiceover that says that he's using his technology and stuff. Oh, do you have that, Tim?
Oh, of course I do. It's just good to see Rocket Sunshine, guy walking up with the spear in him, yada yada. Let me just...
He is determined to use...
Right. Oh, because...
It's got a Flash Gordon at the end there. Here we go. It's coming.
Yor returns to the primitive tribes on the mainland. He is determined to use his superior knowledge to prevent them making the same mistakes as their forefathers. Will he succeed?
Yes,
you're.
There you go. Okay, so the planet was Earth, and then, and this is one thing that Wikipedia said, that they said something about how because of the nuclear something, that's what regenerated the dinosaurs.
Yep, because that's science right there.
Science.
Right.
That's
so,
how creation works. It exists and the dinosaurs come back.
Right. And then Yor flew to where?
The primitive lands.
To do what?
You gotta listen to the voiceover.
What's that voiceover say?
He's gonna teach them technology, like DeVry?
His superior knowledge.
Let that soak in.
Here we go.
Yor returns to the primitive tribes on the mainland. He is determined to use his superior knowledge to prevent them making the same mistakes as their forefathers.
No. Oh, that's silly. Killing me. Got it. Okay. Got it. Okay, so he's going to go back and he's going to say, hey, we got to make sure we don't mess up nuclear-wise stuff because we'll have dinosaurs.
Like we do now.
Like we do now. And then the world would be really primitive and bad, but I've got this knowledge. Even though there were two groups of culture of people that I found, and I destroyed all their technology.
Yes.
By blowing up their caves and flooding it and everything.
Yes, sir.
Basically, he's going to be okay. You're the overlord from the future.
That's true. Ooh, they should make a sequel now.
Yes. Well, so basically he takes all this technology and uses it to his own device then.
Right.
Yes. He's going to fly a jet. He's probably going to land on somebody's village, set it on fire.
You're the dickhead from the future.
I just didn't find him. I didn't find him charming at all because I'm like, you watch, like Conan, and like Conan is kind of cool and he's badass. But this guy is like, he wasn't really that big.
Yor didn't have the kind of machismo. He ended up sounding more like a dick than like a macho guy.
But he always had that dumbfounded look on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like Will Ferrell playing a character. That's what I thought the whole time. But, yeah, and I don't know, was that hair real or was it fake?
I think that might be real.
Oof, that was bad. It was bad. But yeah, like I said, like the first 30, 40 minutes of it, I was like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, it wasn't horrible. I liked the dinosaurs fighting and the.
It was a long half.
It was a long movie. Just real quick, you guys asking, like, what other kind of movies? Like, the guy who directed this movie directed other gems such as Mr. Hercules Against Karate, Killer Fish, the John Saxon vehicle Cannibal Apocalypse.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, really?
He directed that as Anthony M. Dawson. He also did Hunters of the Golden Cobra, Jungle Raiders. He actually did a movie in 2010 called Genghis Khan, The Story of a Lifetime. But he also did Mr. Super Invisible, some Italian movies.
Cannibal Apocalypse, John Saxon.
Well, no, that was the Cannibal Apocalypse. That is that the one when they like the first kind of one like they did like it was like found footage, kind of like the Blair Witch kind of thing. Is that Cannibal Holocaust?
Cannibal Apocalypse.
I'm sorry. I was thinking Cannibal Holocaust. That's considered like a classic apocalypse.
This one, John Saxon is a nom by a soldier. He gets bitten by someone infected with some sort of cannibal virus. So it beams forward a couple decades in Atlanta, Georgia, and like shit happens.
What was one of them that you said?
What?
Did you say Hercules versus Karate?
Mr. Hercules.
Versus Karate the whole sport, or is that the name of a person?
Karate. That's it, karate.
Like the whole thing? Like every karate student in the world?
Yeah. The word
pretty
is...
pretty awesome. The word is... Let me have to see that one.
He's the man. Let me pull that up and I can tell you.
Mr. Hercules versus Stapler.
What? Mr. Hercules against the question mark.
Mr. Hercules versus the Chamber of Commerce.
Mr. Hercules versus Progress.
What? Mr. Hercules versus Dr. Detroit.
Oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Please, no.
Wow.
No, Dr. Detroit.
So this goofy Italian slapstick comedy was obviously made to capitalize on the kung fu craze of the early 70s. Though released in the U.S. under the title Hercules Against Karate, there is no Hercules to be seen here. It concerns two Americans, a blonde baby face and his big, burly, lunkhead sidekick. It sounds like a Trinity vehicle. I'll get into that in a second. But a sidekick who woo two pretty young ladies in Hong Kong while fending off high-kicking bad guys and sumo wrestlers. There's an irritating cute kid and some toilet humor. Well, it sounds like my kind of thing. Yes! It resembles a Bud Spencer Terrence Hill film, but does not have Hill and Spencer. All right, so this is an Italian movie, so I got to talk about this. The Hill and Spencer movies. Have you ever had see like Bud Spencer Terrence Hill movie? Go see it. Any of them. The one you probably want to see is Trinity. Or they call me. My name is Trinity. And it's Italian spaghetti western, but it's like a comedy. And the star is like Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer. One guy is like the cute guy, and the other guy looks like Bluto. And there's a couple of Trinity movies made, but then the guys were pretty much, it was kind of like Lethal Weapon, but before like Lethal Weapon. I mean, these guys would just run around and do all these different kinds of movies, and it was all Italian. So, but Trinity is a great, actually, it was a pretty funny western, and I think everybody should at least see it like once. That's my pitch.
Well, I may have to check it out.
Yeah, it's called.
Yeah, if we're giving Italian picks, I have to say that one of a good Italian, and you probably have all seen this probably. I don't know, maybe you have that. It's called Zombie, but it's spelled Zombi. I can't think of what the name of the director is, and I don't know if like, there's anybody that's a real horror fan, they'll be ashamed that I didn't know the name. But it has some really good, but it's supposed to be kind of like a sequel to Night of the Living, I don't know, but it's shot in the 70s, and it starts out in New York, and then it ends up going, not to Italy, it goes to some like Caribbean jungle, but it has a great scene of a zombie fighting a shark in it.
Wow.
So, yeah, so I mean, just that alone, and it's one of those like, wow, I don't know why anyone hadn't thought about that before, but yeah, because the zombies, like attacks like a topless woman scuba diving, and then all of a sudden the shark comes along, and then, I don't know how they did it too, because they really shot like it looks like it's really a shark and it's really a dude, so I don't, you know, so that's my Italian pick. I don't know why I felt compelled to give, like, this is something that's a lot better than your pretty much almost everything. I think this may be one of the worst movies that we've had.
Oh, this one.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is pretty... Santa Claus, yeah. Santa Claus is still the... I think it's a big thing that... It's a telltale sign that our friendship is still in touch, Tim, with after Santa Claus the movie. Because I was pretty mad.
I'm so
angry. <married. laughs> Yeah. And then I'm really going to dread like when Christmas comes along again. I'm like, oh, no. It's like, is there anything? I think Santa Claus is the worst holiday movie, probably.
The movie you need to see is My Name is Trinity. It's in 1970. You should all see that.
Okay.
It's pretty.
Maybe that's like a new theme that we should do. Like when we do these, like when we have a real shitty movie, and then to cleanse your palate, here's a good movie.
Exactly.
Like, here's a recommendation.
It's a spaghetti western, so you won't see dinosaurs or lasers.
Yeah. Or a caveman suddenly knowing how to use a laser, but instead deciding to use a javelin.
So that's that. Is it worth watching? Worth seeing once? Or, I mean, the only really cool parts is when his music gets cued and he does something insane.
You can just watch the YouTube clip with the lyrics on it.
Yeah, that pretty much.
If you could put a clip together of like of the first part of the movie, the two dinosaur fighting scenes, and the caveman and him fighting and him killing the caveman, like when the caveman calls him a bastard and he hits him in the head with the rock and throws him off a cliff, then yes. But that's only like 10 minutes.
I can recut this.
Director's cut. We're just seeing some dude's cut. Like, wow, that was really good.
Light this candle.
And if anybody asks, it's satire.
Yeah.
Give me any of that nasty copyright business.
So that's...
Yeah, I don't think anyone would need to watch this one.
I think you're right. Just the music video alone is all you really need.
Yeah. And you can YouTube it.
I may...
YouTube the clips.
Perhaps for the trailer, I'll give you a recut special edition. It's going to be like 3 minutes.
Nice. Well, that's that. So we were queuing something for later on. What are we? Was it the new Arrested Development? Or, well, real quick.
I did
look up bike saddles online, and I have this tasty juice. I think I know why I was having a problem. So it says tips to improve bike seat comfort, right? All right. So it says your saddle might be too high, and that'd be my case, because, and here's what the description read. This can cause you to shift your weight from side to side, a movement that often results in irritation to your sensitive perineal area. And in parentheses, it says C below. So, like, maybe my seats.
I thought you were going to say in parentheses it said gooch.
It probably would have been better.
Give me a case tonight.
People have been like, I don't know what the perineum is, but I do know what a gooch is.
Well, and it looks like that's why there's that slot in the middle of those bike seats or saddles, right? Is that's where your perineal, your gooch can rest while biking.
It doesn't. You don't want to get taint fire. That's always
bad. I just, you know what? I usually just leave mine at home.
You leave your taint at home?
Yeah, I do. I just put on a little pillowcase and just leave it there. I'm like, we won't be needing you on this bike ride, sir.
Isn't that a King's X song or something? Detachable taint?
No, King Missile. Oh, King Missile. Detachable penis. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's an annoying song. That's going to be going through my head the rest of the afternoon.
Well, is the your theme song more annoying than Detachable Penis?
I like the your theme song actually better.
I kind of like it too.
I do. It's got a nice sense of like theater to it.
You got the little woodwinds at the beginning, and then, you know, then they hit you with the big surprise. You know.
Yeah. It's not Queen.
It's certainly not Queen.
No, it's actually the Queen cover band called, like, Jester or, you know, Squire.
Her Majesty.
Her Majesty.
Majesty.
Or Faggot.
No. Said it.
I'm not.
Freddie Mercury.
No, he was bisexual, all right? He loved everybody.
No. Freddie Mercury's mustache leavings.
That's a good Queen cover band name.
It doesn't always fit on the marquee so much. So.
Yeah, it's a lot of letters, but it's a little wordy, but it gets there. It takes a little while to get there.
FMMFMML or something.
Yeah, I gotta go in just a bit of it. Yeah, we were talking about, so Hoagie, so are you doing the rest of development, like Netflix?
Yeah, I'm not doing a marathon, but I found one thing that's annoying with, like, when it's all available in one big chunk is, like, right now, the wife, Kelly, is, like, watching it now. So now she's ahead of me in episodes, and now I feel like I'm out of sync. So I guess it's not as bad to be out of sync, like, when it's on week after week, because then you have a week to catch up to that one episode. But now it's like, she could be practically done with the series this afternoon, and then I'll be all like, I guess I have to catch up somehow, or something. So, that's the only thing I don't like in one big dump.
How many episodes is it?
I don't know, 14 maybe?
Wow. Yeah, I never really watched it that much, and Tim and I were talking about how we both felt like kind of aliens, because everyone loves it so much. I just never got into it. It just felt like he was always trying really hard, is how it felt to me.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I watch it, and I laugh at it, and I think it's funny, but sometimes I don't think it's not, like, my ultimate, I'm not a diehard about it. Like, I'll watch it, but I don't have to see it.
I don't like watch it over and over. I'll, like, watch it once, but I won't go back to it. Some people like to rewatch, like, series, and I'm not that kind of person.
I don't like Will Arnett either, and I'm kind of sad.
I hate Will Arnett. I just don't think he's that funny. I don't. I mean, I was. There'll be a movie that, like, I'll want to see, and if I know he's in it, I'm kind of like,
well,
I don't know what it is about.
I tell you, one of the interesting things with this new season is that they're really pulling out all the stops for guest stars. That's for sure. Like,
really,
and then they kind of break the fourth wall because Ron Howard is in it as a character, and. And somehow the Bluth guy, the Jason Bateman guy, gets hired as a movie producer to produce the story of his family. So it's kind of inception-y, fourth wall breaking. But then, like, they did flashbacks of the old couple, you know, Jeffrey Tambor and Jessica Walter.
There you go.
So they use, like, Kristen Wiig and Seth Rogen as the younger versions of those parents. So they're doing flashback scenes of that. And, yeah, there's guest stars all over the place. The guys from Workaholics. The guys from Workaholics show up in an episode. And, yeah, it's
I have this feeling you're not selling jokes.
This is not winning me over on it.
Lucille Ball. No, Terry Crews. Terry Crews plays a Republican politician in it. The one lady from Mr. Show is in it as a mute Indian girl. They are just pulling all the stops for the guest spots. That's for sure.
I wonder if people are just wanting to be on the show too, you know, where it's like, it's not even like they're asking them, they're, you know, they're just like, oh, there's people who are big
Andy,
fans.
Andy Richter and Conan O'Brien are in it too.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Andy Richter would sell you all the pictures.
I like Andy Richter. I don't know. Again, it's like, it goes into the whole idea of, like, they're just trying too hard, and it's just, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it just shows, like, I'm at heart just a really miserable person, because I don't like anything that's, like, quirky and that everyone else is on board of. It's like the old Woody Allen, or the Groucho Marx said that I wouldn't want to belong to any club that would have me as a member. So I guess I just have a point. I mean, like, people, like, when things get overly hyped like this, it doesn't make me want to check it out. And what makes me want to check things out is when one of you guys says, hey, this is kind of good, I enjoyed it. But, like, when there's some people that, like, anyone that goes and sees Fast and Furious 6, like, I don't want to take any recommendations from them. And I know some of the people, like, that have seen both. Some of the people did both this weekend. And I just, like, I just don't care. I'm not trying to make any sense.
I try to get inspired to see first run movies, but I just don't have the energy to do it. We saw Master Pancake Theater Friday night, which for the uninitiated out there in podcast land is pretty much live riffing of movies, kind of like what Mystery Science Theater 2000 is. There was even a cameo of the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 in the new season of Arrested Development too. I forgot about that one too.
Wow.
At any rate, yeah, they are trying a little hard, aren't they? So, but Master Pancake, they did Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. So, I get more enjoyment out of people making fun of the movies. That, like, we got like a gift card to the Alamo Draft House, but I'm like, we're gonna save it for an actual movie that we want to see, and we haven't used it yet because it's so hard to go up there. It's like, yeah, I kind of want to see Iron Man 3. I hear Star Trek 2. I hear the new Star Trek is pretty awesome, but there's no fire in my belly that is like forcing me to jump out, run out, and see it as quick as I can. It's just kind of like, eh.
Iron Man 3 left me with a fire in my belly because I was just, man, it just, I hated it. And the more I thought about it, I hated it even more. I was like, done with it, man. I'm just done with those. And like, the Avengers was fine, but it's just like, I just think, and this is, again, guys, I'm morphing into the comic book man from The Simpsons, but I'm just kind of like, man, you know, not everything has to be made into a movie. You know, like, comics, you can get away with silly dialogue and you know, strange things happening, but then when you see it enacted, and it's like, that his leg would have been shattered, or Your lady just fell over to death. Why are you making a wisecrack, you know, 5 minutes later? You know, you should be in a ball sobbing, you know, and, you know, pissing your pants. But it's like, Iron Man 3 just didn't do it for me. I liked the first one. I think the first one's a remarkable film. I really liked it.
Yeah, that's because...
But the second one was...
The second one was forgettable. It was about as forgettable as you were, the Manhunter from the future dickhead guy. So...
I guess that, like, your is kind of like, can become a new scale. Because if you're...
How is it compared to your quotient?
What's the York quantity on
here? What's the readout of the York quantity?
It's, you know, plus or minus three York. You know.
Yeah. What's the over and under on the York?
you got to get about a six on that York, the York scale.
Oh man, but so I guess I gotta get going, but it's my turn to pick, and I've had this little gem for a while. I don't know how I mean you guys are much more internet savvy than I am, and this came, my pick is what I got. This is how internet savvy I am. You guys will probably find it and download it and be able to watch it. I found it in the $5 bin at Walmart.
Oh, then it'll be online somewhere.
Yeah, so it was an 80s comedy collection, and it's a movie that I don't remember seeing, but remember being disgusted by it as a kid.
Disgusted.
And my selection is Shanghai Surprise.
Shanghai Surprise.
With Mac Donna and Sean Penn.
Shanghai Surprise, right? Well, my taint yeah. is too sensitive to do that.
Yeah. So that's next. So
Shanghai Surprise on deck.
Well, I figured like that would be a different genre that we haven't really covered. Like
any 80s. Any genre is eligible.
Wow, 2.8.
Every what?
Every genre is eligible.
Yeah, this one may hurt. This may be my homage to your Santa Claus the movie.
Wow.
Could definitely be, but and think about it too, because this is the thing that's bugged me philosophically for like since I was a kid, right? Is that you have two famous people that are married or dating, and they make movies together, and then they break up, and then I always think about how painful is it when you're flipping around TV and you see that. We've all had breakups that make you feel really bad, and you just wear it forever, and there's still things you'll see that remind you. How would you imagine you had multi millions of dollars put into that vehicle, and that's your, and it's out for the public to see. That's like totally airing your dirty laundry, because people will see that and go, "Ooh, they're not together anymore."
Yes, and the budget was $17 million to make. It gross.
Wow.
It gross made $2.3 million in the United States.
Wow.
Damn.
That's a $15 million. I wonder if for her movies, if that swept away or lost as much, because that was an expensive movie.
Oh, but the you'll be happy to know that it made $42,000 in Germany.
That's what we should just call it from now on: $42,000 in Germany.
You name
it. The your quotient seems high on this one.
It's becoming high. I'm just thinking.
All right.
You what?
My preliminary reading is it's high on the your scale.
Yeah.
The your.
It's very high.
I'm only really guessing because my yordometer is in the shop right now. I guess we're going out on this then.
Tim has your Tourette's.
He has your tense.
Alright, well not the strongest ending, but so I guess we will adjourn. If you guys have any trouble, like I'm sure you could find Shanghai Surprise.
Yeah, I'll find it, and now that we've kind of shook off the rust from our little absence, definitely happy we got to this, and I can't wait to drop a Shanghai Surprise on you. So.
Oh boy! All right, guys. Well, I will talk to you soon. I'll be in touch.
All right, peace out.
All right, man. Bye bye.
Yes, Tim, we are going out on this movie. This is the song.
Yeah, man. Let's give it a look. Let's just give it one more fire up here for fair folks. A little wind. There we go.
Sounds like Public Image Limited or something.
A little bit. Definitely got a little.
mystery.
Don't try to pull me away. It's such for a yesterday.
Your sucks.
I think it's
destiny.
Don't touch fire. Proud of the free desire.
Paul McCartney, the saint.
All right,
well, is that...
What is that,
sir? Well, we lit this candle. and I guess, I don't know when, we'll record another episode whenever we end up recording it.
Yeah.
So until then, I don't know, don't fast forward.
Well, you're really going to want to fast forward your...
At least listen to the song.
Yeah. At least go listen to the song. Let me just give one more.
Awesome. All right. Until next time, don't fast forward.
Don't fast forward.
York.